Well, good morning and welcome from me again, having had the activity earlier. We're going to look at the parable of the sower, but before we do so, I was just thinking about this, what people are now saying about the year 2020. They're saying, let's forget about 2020. Now, you've heard this before about other years, haven't you? Normally because a number of celebrities have died or something. But this time, it really does feel true, doesn't it? It's been an awful year. And we don't even know yet what the full impact is going to be of this year. And in particular, something I've been reflecting on, what is the impact on the church in this country going to be and the Christians in this country? And what is going to be the impact on the church in Wellington and the Christians in Wellington and the Church of St. Patrick's and the Christians and those who come to St. Patrick's? Well, as I was praying about this and thinking about this, this verse which we had earlier from Proverbs came to mind, where it says this: the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. I think that this hard time of COVID is actually going to be a refining time for the church in this country and Christians in this country and the churches in Wellington and the Christians of Wellington. In this passage here about the crucible and the furnace, we have three elements. The first element is fire, which burns. The second element is destruction, that the impurities are destroyed, burnt away. And the third is purification, that what you're left with might actually be smaller, a smaller amount of material, but it is now pure and of greater value. And that illustration is an illustration of how God uses hard times on the Christian as an individual. Yes, it is, the hard times are represented by the fire. The destruction is of all that is ungodly about us, not like Jesus. And what is purified, what is left, is what is Jesus. What reflects his character. But it's also true at a church level. And it works actually in a more broad way or in a more complex way at a church level, whether it's a church in this country or churches in Wellington. Hard times are in fact intended by God to purify the church, partly through repentance, partly through recognizing that we've actually, our focus has become lost, it's been distracted from the Lord, and hard times bring us back to him. But also because of a winnowing experience in the church, or a purifying through furnace. Just as we saw with the illustration there, the winnowing, what is light is blown away, but what is pure is left behind. So that will be true for churches in this country. We will experience that some will not return after COVID. And not, I'm talking about here because of death, but if church is a habit that someone's got into, then I think COVID will break the habit. If church is actually about meeting my needs in a day-to-day level, I like the worship of that church, well, this period of COVID is going to kill that, isn't it? Because although we can do amazing things through technology, I'm looking out on a sea of masks and people who can't sing during songs. If church is about, I like meeting together for a cup of coffee with a nice group of people around a house, that's not happening. If church is about me, I won't return. But actually, COVID isn't the only form of difficulty or testing that the church is going through at the moment. It's just the more immediate one. But there'll be some longer term period things which are testing our churches and testing us individually as Christians or as people who purport to be Christians. One is the changing beliefs in our culture, which are increasingly hostile to God's word. Another one, which has been around for a long time for nearly everyone in this country compared to people in history and people worldwide, is affluence. The affluence, the wealth, the money, the resources which pull our eyes away from the hope of eternal life and mean we just become rooted in the here and now. So this is, I believe, a refining time. But the parable of the sower is a reassurance to us. It's a reassurance, first of all, that people falling away is normal, but it's also a reassurance that difficult times will prove whether we are truly following Jesus. So let's look a little bit more at the parable of the sower. Normally, we focus on the parable of the sower, as is appropriate, on the issue of evangelism. How do I cope with the fact that when I do share the gospel with someone, they maybe reject it totally, or maybe they're really keen for a while, but then they disappear, or maybe they just become ineffective because they become obsessed about career and relationships and things like that? How do I cope with that? Do I think, well, there's no point in putting seed out, telling people about Jesus? No, the parable of the sower says no, tell more people. If only one in four are going to respond fully, then the answer when the three reject is not to give out, put out less seed, but to put four times as much seed out, four times the number of times that we share Jesus with people. But in Luke's account, there's an interesting extra detail in verse 15. Look at it with me. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. We're also meant to look at this parable and ask ourselves this question. Which soil am I? Am I the path? Am I the rocky soil? Am I the thorny soil? Or am I the good soil? During this time of testing of COVID and affluence and changing culture, which soil will I prove to be? How will we, the soil, respond to God's word long term, the seed? Will we survive into eternity and be fruitful? Or will we, the baking heat of the sun, expose our shallow roots? And will the thorns start choking me? We're not going to look at the path today because we are focusing on what sort of soil we are. And to be honest, if you're here in church or you're listening online, you're not the stony path. You're not the path. So that's good news, isn't it? You are actually engaging with God's word. So let's look at the second and third path. Let's first look at the stony path. And we're going to have a little slide which comes up here. The stony path is when this life is hard. Really, it's when this life is hard because I've accepted the word of God as in some way true. Now, sometimes it's just that life is hard. And we become confused as to where Jesus is in all of it. If he's meant to be my saviour, if he's meant to be my Lord, where is he? In parts of the world, this experience, as we're going to see later in our service, is through active persecution, losing family, losing jobs, losing churches, losing freedom, being imprisoned, facing death. But for us now, I think it's twofold. The first is that being part of the church is difficult in COVID. And the second is the word of God is unpopular in our culture. And so actually we're afraid to hold to God's word because of the consequences of it. If you like, those who are stony soil are those who, when this life is hard, decide that following Jesus is too challenging. In other words, hard questions always ask the Christian or the one who purports to be a Christian, is Jesus worth it? And the one on stony soil in hard times says, no. Is Jesus worth it when following him means I miss out on that career opportunity, on that relationship, on that experience? Is Jesus worth it when following him is not easy? Because of COVID, for instance, coming to church isn't easy. It's not the same as it was. I don't find watching it on a screen at home as engaging. It's harder work. Is Jesus worth it when following him makes me unpopular? Because of my beliefs. Because I'm not available on a Sunday morning to go to that activity or that social. And is Jesus worth it when following him makes no sense to me? Because life is so hard. In difficult times, the person who's the stony soil will let the seed die. In my experience, sometimes that's outright rejection, but actually more like it's maybe on the one hand a watered-down gospel, a watered-down Jesus. All the bits of the gospel that makes believing in Jesus difficult, we just get rid of. That's the easy answer, isn't it? And we find a Jesus who doesn't ever challenge, who makes things easy. But I think that's like the puppet Jesus. I was going to bring in one of those two puppets we have, Daisy. Was it Daisy? Daisy, and just put a label around her saying, Jesus. That's the Daisy Jesus. And the wonderful thing about the Daisy Jesus is Daisy Jesus says whatever I want Daisy Jesus to say. Yeah? That's one way of killing the seed. Another way of killing the seed is we just stop going to church. We might well say, I'm still a Christian. You don't have to be go to church to be a Christian. That's the sort of line you often hear. It's actually a very misleading line, that. Maybe you've experienced the temptation to do that. So at first, you were well into the live stream and you watched it every week. 10:30, you were ready for it. Then after a while, I thought, oh, actually, I'm a bit busy. Well, not quite ready. I know, I'll watch it this afternoon. And you did watch it this afternoon. And then one week you say, I'll watch it this afternoon, or maybe later in the week. And then come the next Sunday, you realize, oh, I never got round to it. The Christian who's the good soul, on the other hand, is the one for whom hard times don't push them away from Jesus, but push them towards him. There'll be struggles on the way, and there may be railings and thinking, why, Lord? But ultimately, the heat of the sun, the heat of hard times will push them to Jesus, not away. So that's the stony soil. What about the thorny soil? We're going to come on to that now. The thorny soil is not when this life is hard, but when this life has become my focus. Did you notice those three words? They're interesting words in it. Look at it again. It's on verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And when I read that, I thought that's an odd three things to say, isn't it? Because riches and pleasures, good. They're attractive. Worries, bad. Why are they together here? Well, I think what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 is very helpful here. He says this in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's a this life focus, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's a focus that's on eternity, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's the killer line. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The thorny soil is the person who makes this life their treasure. This life's pleasures, this life's riches, their treasure. And, you know, the life to come is like an insurance policy. And you know that because you never think about it. Your life is focused on this life. And as a result, because actually the riches and pleasures of this life are so uncertain, Jesus then goes on to have a long section about do not worry. He knows that if you make this life your treasure, because this life is fading and failing, you will be a life full of worry. Money will become more and more important to me if this life becomes my focus, because it's the gateway to riches and pleasures in this life. And when money becomes more important to me, work starts to be my master. It decides what hours I have free to then do other things like help out, care for my neighbour, go to church. And in an affluent society, those thorns are so much more numerous and so much more attractive. I think we think of thorns as like, surely the soil thinks, horrible thorn. But no, these thorns are beautiful. They are enticing, and you are engaged by them even as you are choked and killed spiritually. Well, what's the sign of the thorny soil? Well, the sign of the stony soil was that following Jesus becomes too challenging. The sign of the thorny soil is that I'm simply too busy for Jesus. Nobody says that, but that's actually what happens. I don't ever decide to reject him or push him out, but other things that are my treasure push out those things which draw me closer to him. So I might say about Katie, well, I'm never going to reject her, I'm never going to push her away. No, I probably won't. But it'd be very easy to have other things push her away. Things which stop me spending time with her, stop me engaging with her, stop me listening to her. Other things push out those things that draw me closer to Jesus, like my personal prayer. like weekly worship with God's people, which draws me closer to Jesus. That's what I love about meeting with you, whether virtually or in person. That's why I think it's so important that we try, if we are live streaming, if it's possible, I know it's not possible for all of you, but to try to be disciplined about doing it at 10:30. Rather than saying, I am worshipping with David now, if we do it later, there's a little bit of I'm worshipping with what they did. But I know that's not possible for all. And actually, one of the beauties of live streaming, I know that some of you have been unable to come to church for years. And I feel ashamed that we haven't made this possible for you before. Because it's vital that you get to be part of our church family. And if that means it's later in the day, that's absolutely fine. Weekly worship with his people. Also studying his word, which, to be honest, on your own is hard. And that's when we meet in our small groups. And yes, the hardship of COVID has made that more difficult. But here's the thing about a garden. You don't look at your garden and think, oh, well, weeding's hard work. I'll just leave it because I'm sure it'll be all right. I'll end up with a nice garden and no weeds. No, you don't think that, do you? If you want a nice garden, it takes effort. If we want to be soil that is not thorny, it's going to take effort, but it will be worth it. So in the thorny soil, ultimately, my ambitions and my dreams and my treasure are focused on this life. And that pushes Jesus out. We become too busy for him. And that's true of us personally, but I want to just particularly focus on us if we're parents or grandparents. If you like, our treasure is our ambition. We can think about what is our treasure for us. Is it in this life? Is our ambition for our lives this life? But what are our ambitions and treasure for our children? What are you hoping for your children or your grandchildren? That they will be rocky soil, thorny soil, or good soil? How much does that really matter to you? Is their walk with Jesus and learning about him going to be more important than their schoolwork or less? Their schoolwork is primarily focused on this life. That marks them out as stony or thorny soil. Is church just another one of their activities, competing with others when there's too little time? Because here's the challenge for us, and I've been really weighed down by this. COVID affects our children more than it does us. It is easier for us to engage with worship online than it is for our children. Their need is far, far greater. Do you know, COVID is a massive threat to their eternal salvation. Jesus says they could have the most beautiful thorns, but their soul choked. Now you might be thinking, help, I don't know what to do, is it too late? No, it's never too late. That's the thing about our Lord. That's why this is good news, this passage, because it says you can do something about it. Or at least you can go to the one who will do something about it. But for now, if you're a parent, who are you asking about for help in this? Who have you asked? And I don't just mean, oh, please, could you make things better and put it on a plate for me? No, I mean, actually, we want resources. One of the beautiful things, actually, is hearing Sam and Helen telling me about the parents who said, listen, the resources aren't kind of working for us at the moment. Can you help us? And Sam and Helen have helped. It's not much good. The parents just say we don't like them. They're not working. But don't then want to find out what can work. Or come and talk to me. I'm no expert. But we can look at God's word together and think, how can we help our children be good soil? And this comes on to the final point. What does it mean to be good soil? Well, that's what Jesus says at the end. He says this. We've read it already. It is those with a noble and good heart. Noble here simply means healthy, really. It's got a wide range of meaning. Both words do, actually. Both words have this wide range of meaning. But here it means healthy, But we're going to see that that means a healthy heart is a heart fixed on Jesus. What does good mean? Once again, good means a number of things. It just means good. It can mean does good, the Greek word behind this. But what's instructive is the context of this passage, what's just gone on before, and how else the other times that Luke describes individuals as good. The context is, well, actually, of this sinful woman who anoints Jesus. And Jesus says, who is the one who will love God more? The one who is forgiven much. That's an interesting thing. It turns out that the good person in that episode in Jesus' life is the sinful person who comes to Jesus for forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? The person who hasn't done good but comes to Jesus for forgiveness is the good person. The person who's not good soil is the person who's done lots of good things, but in their pomp and their arrogance and their self-righteousness think they don't need Jesus' salvation. The three people who are described as good in Luke are these. The first is Matthew 10, and the moment is in Matthew 10, 42. This is Mary, not Mary Magdalene, not Mary the mother of Jesus, but Mary the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus come to visit their house. Imagine the scene. And Martha is absolutely, they're both really excited. And Martha thinks, I want this to be the best occasion ever for Jesus. I'm going to make sure that all the people he brings have fantastic food. And she's running around. Mary sits at Jesus' feet listening to him. And Martha comes in and says, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. And this is what Jesus says to her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset, about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. That's the same Greek word as good. She's chosen what is good. So what is the good deed here? It is to be the person who sets aside distractions and wants to learn from Jesus, wants to see Jesus, wants to hear from him. That's what that little episode in the middle of our parable was all about. When Jesus says, actually, he teaches parables, get this, so that people won't understand him. Jesus, what are you talking about? He says, I'm thinking. And the disciples must be thinking that. And he doesn't mean, because he doesn't want people to understand, but he wants this. He wants people to understand him by having a relationship with him. There was a whole crowd who heard the parable, but only some came to Jesus to hear what it meant. That you will never be a good soul just by learning more about Jesus. You will become a good soul by learning from him. By knowing him. The second time is in Luke chapter 19. And this is a parable. And it's about three servants whose master gives them some of his resources to go away and look after. And one of them just thinks, right, I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And when the master comes back, he just gets back what he gave the servant. The other two take these master's resources and they use them. And through using them, they actually increase their value. And Jesus says to the two servants, he says this, well done, my good servant. So the second way in which we can be good soil is that like the servant who knows that everything he has is the master's and then uses that for the master, so we know that everything we have is Jesus's. Every bit of money, every scrap of money, every bit of house, every bit of possessions, every bit of friendships, every bit of career, every bit of relationship is my master's Jesus. And I will use it for him. And the third one is the one I find most moving, which is the story of a man called Joseph of Arimathea. Not Joseph, Technicolor Dreamcoat, not Joseph, husband of Mary, but Joseph of Arimathea, a man of great influence and great power who sat on the council, who when Jesus was crucified, when following Jesus was life-threatening, he didn't say, well, I better keep quiet so that I can carry on using my influence and power for God. No, he risked it all. we read this about him. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man. And he goes to Jesus' executioner, Pilate, and asks for his body. So if the first thing we see being good is one who pursues Jesus to learn more about him and learn from him. And the second one who says that everything is Jesus, everything I have is Jesus' and I want to use it fully for him. The third one is, I will risk everything for Jesus. And I will name him, because, even if it's life-threatening. So do you see what it means to be good soul here? It means to be somebody passionate about Jesus. And I just want us to think about that briefly as we finish. Of course we want to be good soil. But are we willing, during this difficult time, to say, this is the time to prove that we are good soil? Now you might be thinking, oh Dave, this is all very challenging. Can I say no, it's not, well it is challenging, but it's also something else. It is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to say, yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry I've been thorny soil. I'm sorry I've been stony soil. I'm sorry, to be honest, sometimes I'm pretty much like the path. Thank you for showing me that in this time. And now please help me. And you know, every time you then make Jesus your priority, there will be a blessing to you. Why? When it's hard, and it's hard to make him a priority, and you do, every time you say, oh, I'm becoming good soil. I'm becoming good soil. Isn't that a thought? So next time you make a choice that is hard, but puts Jesus first, you can say, thank you, Lord. It's a sign that I am becoming good soil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this. Please use this time. These challenges, this immediate and obvious challenge of COVID, but also changing culture and also affluence, please use these challenges not that the seed would die in us, the seed of your word, the seed that links us to Jesus, but may we be the good soil that is passionately focused on him. Amen.